Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last week, we celebrated the beautiful feast of the Epiphany. We saw that that feast highlighted that Christmas is more than just a happy day for Mary and Joseph. It's more than even an important day on the Christian calendar. The feast of the Epiphany manifested that Christmas is a cosmic event with cosmic consequences. And so we saw even the heavens, the star, guiding the way to Bethlehem. We saw the kings who were Gentiles from far away come and worship. And we saw Mary and Joseph receive that worship in great mystery and faith. Of course, that epiphany also manifested great evil. We saw the evil of the jealous King Herod, who, in result of hearing that a new king was born, he had all the baby boys of Bethlehem, 2 years and younger, slaughtered. We saw the evil of indifference in the scribes, who were so fluent with the prophecies that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, that the star would point the way. And yet they were so far off, so untouched because of their indifference. Whenever there is great goodness and generosity, you can be sure that smallness will be exposed. Whenever there's a manifestation of great light, we realize how dark the darkness was. Whenever we encounter true worship, all of our phony idolatries are revealed. I remember a story of an epiphany, and it happened in a school. My mom was a substitute teacher, and I remember her sharing with me the story of a little girl who had a vision test in school, and she failed the vision test. Sure enough, she needed glasses. She went to the doctor, was fitted for the glasses, and when they put them on her face, she looked at her mother and she said, "Mommy, you're so beautiful." Which begged the question, what did mommy look like before? My friends, that Feast of the Epiphany manifested the beauty of faith, the beauty of God and Christmas. And this week, as we step back into church, we have yet another epiphany. Today we celebrate the baptism of Christ. And his baptism is a manifestation. St. Mark tells us that the sky was torn open, that we see the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove. We hear for the first time the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And because this is baptism, we not only hear and see and remember these things, but it evokes in us a great joy because we have been baptized. We have been baptized in Christ. And perhaps we can see today what great news that is. If Christmas celebrated Emmanuel, God with us, and it did, it is through baptism that we have God in us, and that is the big news. Christ in us. It may seem strange that we celebrate this feast in this Christmas season, that even though Christ is still in the manger here in church, we remember and we hear of Christ, the 30-year-old man, being baptized by John. Perhaps it is strange. But I think we celebrate it in this season because today is a great turning point. In ending the Christmas season, we are launched into the living of Christmas. And that happens through our baptism. Having received baptism, having been made members of his body, having been marked, having become the relatives of God, we can now live as his witnesses in this world. Today is a great missioning, and we see that the mission of Christ begins, his public ministry, that God really does come for us. He really is with us. It would do us well to renew our baptismal promises at some time today, so as to be reminded and to live well the days ahead. We are getting ready now to enter ordinary time. And because of Christmas, because of baptism in the church, the time is anything but ordinary. Living in Christ as his body, in friendship with him. That's what Mary and Joseph did for 30 years. And what a gift. It's interesting to note that our times are not so ordinary, either in the church or in our country. And the events of this past week, the events that continue, the discord and the discouragement that we've all experienced, are worth noting. Yesterday, I gave a talk to our second grade parents, and I shared with them, I remembered a quote from Pope St. Pius XII. He was the Pope in the most bloodiest century of humankind. And that century was not the second or the third century when they were martyring the Christians in Rome. No. Believe it or not, you and I, most of us here today, have lived in the bloodiest century. It was the 20th century. And when asked, what was the greatest sin of the 20th century? Pius XII said this, "The sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin." Isn't that interesting? The loss of the sense of sin. He could have named any number of terrible happenings, most obvious being the Holocaust. But he didn't. He said the greatest sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. As we now find ourselves in a new century, it seems to me as though we might be regaining our sense of sin. I was ordained in 2000, the beginning of this 21st century. And as I look over those 20 years, which have been so happy, the happiest years of my life, I can see the great exposures of evil. 9/11, in the first year of my priesthood. In the second year, the exposure of priestly sexual abuse. Then, that was in Boston in 02. But then, of course, Philadelphia, and then around the world. I can think of the terrorism, and now the chaos and the division that exists in our country. Perhaps in this century, evil is being more exposed and seen, and we're coming to our senses. And that, my friends, could be good news. I think the devil always does his best work in disguise, when no one notices, when we lose our sense of sin. That's his best work. But in this time that is so shocking and striking to us and so exposed, perhaps now is the best time for us to give witness to the good news. God with us and God in us. And live that reality in our day to day. Let us thank God for the gift of Christmas. Let us thank Him for the gift of faith and baptism. And let us together, as a church community, as baptized Christians, give great witness of that reality in a world that has forgotten it. May God be with you today.